Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. I've done series on how to have God's life living in you, probably thousands of tapes on that in the past, but of lately we've started a new series, and this is part 67 of how to have God's life living in you, the 67th tape on it. And that's 67 hours. Then this is program number 169, and if you like a copy of it, we have it on CD and tape. It's absolutely free. We everything that we have offer in literature or tapes or books is free. Bibles. So if you cannot afford it, just make a request, and we'll give you four ways on how to receive the tape or CD at the end of the program. We have some letters, responses, and then also, as usual, and later then we'll bring the message. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to pour out His Spirit. Father, pour out Your Spirit. Anoint. Speak through me. Use my mouth to say the things that You want to say to the people in Radio Land, throughout the world, that the church may be set on higher ground, and that the souls that You died for shall be saved. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
From Uganda, Africa.
All right, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear beloved Pastor Alamo, thank you for the literature you sent to me. I received the bag yesterday. Your literature is causing and bringing great revival and revolution among God's people. But among religious hypocrites, hatred and bitterness is rising like smoke from fire towards us. God is moving and touching more young people than ever before. On the 31st of March, we traveled to Bushenyi District to conduct students' conferences about 200 kilometers from here in Kabul. Over 300 students trusted Christ, and many discouraged Christians were revived and strengthened by uncompromising preaching and teaching through your literature. We had about 2,000 students from various schools in western Uganda. On the 2nd of May, I'll be going to Ibanda District to conduct a seminar for the evangelical leaders. From 10th to the 13th of June, we shall have two student conferences, and much traveling will be required to minister to both congregations. We need Bibles for the new believers who can't afford one, as many as the Lord provides, and literature in the thousands is needed. Beware of the blessings of the popes, the Pope's secrets, fugitive pope, and salvation pamphlets. Students' gatherings are in the thousands, and more people come to attend our open-air preaching. Stay blessed evermore, Wilson from Uganda, Africa.
Well, yes, I see people going to different evangelists that go there, and you see crowds of like 1 million people, 2 million people. even, you know, when the Catholics like Benny Hinn are preaching over there, I mean, it's just, they're hungry. And I just, I'm so happy when they're getting saved through my tapes, because we have quite a different ministry than each other. There's some of the people on television that they preach real good messages. And I just thank God. Some of them preach good messages and they go along, and then some of them start teaching eternal security, which is that you can sin and still get into heaven. Of course, that's absolutely wrong, but some of their messages are very good, and it's just really depressing to see them veer off to the left or right and start preaching some of these other things. But some of them do preach, some of the messages they preach are very good. All right, then what else?
Next letter is from Houston, Texas. Dear Pastor Long and his ministry, I found your newsletter and message about dry bones at work. Someone had dropped it on the stairs of the apartment complex where I work. I picked it up and began to read it. I enjoyed everything about it. I have been to so many ministries trying to find a place where God wanted to use me, but most of them are not teaching the true Word of God, so now I stay home, read and study God's Word until God directs my steps to where He wants me to be. I am so hurt inside because ministers know God's Word, but they won't teach the truth. Most of them feel if they teach the truth, they will lose money and their flock. The reason for this letter is I want to know if you have a church in Houston, Texas area.
No, if you'd like to open up one, though, and you have the zeal and you have a desire, and it seems that you know good messages from bad, you could be a distributor there, and people that would get saved, you could take them over to the house and play my tapes and read Bible with each other and pray with each other, and that would be its start of a church. That's the way that we started out. Sue, my late wife of 1982, she passed away then, had 25 years on me as far as experience in the Lord. And I was married to her and was told by God to listen to what she had to say. She was the smartest woman I'd ever known in my life. And by far, to me, and everyone that heard her, the best preacher as well. And so we were married 17 years before she went on to be with the Lord. And we started out, I started out with a bang. I was put together with, had supernatural experiences with the Lord. And God put me with her to gain the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that she had of the Word of God. And it happened so fast. The 17 years just flew by. I was thrown right into the biggest ministry on the face of this earth. I didn't know anything really, except I knew the Lord. And that experience that I had in the office in Beverly Hills, where the Lord shut off my ears and started talking through my body, I didn't believe that He existed, and He showed me that He did. My testimony is entitled Dry Bones and then the Signs of the Time. If you want a copy of them, you can send. Just let us know, and I'll send you a copy of both of them, if you like. But when the Lord came down upon me, I had no idea how powerful He was, and I had no idea that He knew everything that I knew, or knew everything about me, and still had mercy on me. That was just one of the biggest things that I just was thanking and praising Him for. I didn't get saved that day, but what it did is it kindled my interest in finding out what God wanted me to do. And He shut my carnal ears off, and He started talking through my body. I could hear better in my arms, legs, feet. It was my soul that He was talking to inside, my spirit. And He told me, I am the Lord thy God, stand upon your feet in this room now and tell these people about the Lord Jesus Christ that I am coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And He let me know that I'd go to hell. And so I thought I was crazy. I was going crazy. This is how I know God exists. And all this Da Vinci thing and all these supposed to be experts and everything, they don't know God like I do. I don't know any Christian on the face of this earth that knows God the way I do, because like the Lord actually appeared right in front of me, even more than He did Paul. He came to Paul in a light, and like a light, a bright light on the road to Damascus. But with me, He appeared as a man right in front of me. There was like this was about 3 years later. But the Lord, in that office when I wanted to get up and go and check myself into a a private sanitarium because I thought I was going crazy. Because I just thought this isn't happening. This can't be. I was in this office with all these people. There was even 6 off-duty Los Angeles police officers, motorcycle police officers. And I was doing a promotion for a young lad named Bobby Jameson. His name was really Robert Parker James, and I changed his name to Bobby Jameson. And we had a lot of hit records. And this attorney and I wanted to see him, along with some movie stars, to put up some money, because they wanted a piece of the action on this promotion that I was doing, and Bobby Jameson himself. And I didn't want to do it, but my attorney told me to go to the office. And so after my attorney just says, please, you know, I need for you to go there because I owe this man a favor and he wants to invest. I said, I don't want any investments. I'm doing this promotion and I'm doing it really with the money that I made on the 20 original hits. I'm the one that started selling records on the radio and on television. And since then, KTEL Records started. Now, Time, Life, Warner Brothers have copied my method of selling records. And it's a real good method. It's better than going through distributors, because the record distributors don't do anything. They don't promote the record. They don't get it on radio. They don't get it into the stores. I went in with this 20 original hit album, and they told me, well, is it in the stores yet? And I said, no, that's what you're supposed to do. And they said, well, do you have airplay? And I said, are you kidding? These are 20 oldies. Of course these oldies are on the air. And they says, well, you know, you have to get the advertisement on it. I said, look, I said, I want them to buy 40,000 records, and they thought that I was chewing morning glory seeds or snorting glue or something like that. They said, what, are you on pills or something? No, I said, okay. I walked out and I just started. I made an ET, electrical transcription, a commercial with Earl McDaniel, who is the number one disc jockey here in Los Angeles. And I put it on the air and we started selling records like they were going out of style. And we had probably the number one hit album going. And then everybody wanted to be involved with it, but no one had the guts to get on the air with it until 8 years later, after I got out of it, because I got bored and I wanted to do a promotion for this singer Bobby Jameson, because I thought he was very talented and that he could take over for the Beatles. I thought that we could actually promote, that I could promote him bigger than the Beatles, because he was really more commercial than him. And I still own his masters, and I believe that they're worth millions. And during that course of time, I also did a promotion for Pete Best of the Beatles. And Pete Best gave me a Beatles album, which I'm told is worth over $100 million, and I've never sold it. I've never put it out on the market, and I know how to market things. But anyway, I was in this office, and these things happened to me. And when I thought I was going crazy, and the Lord started pulling the breath in and out of me, because he really wanted me to tell all these people. There must have been about 25 people in the office, this attorney's office in Bev Hills. He wanted me to tell them that the Lord's coming back to earth again or I would die. And so I says, okay, I'll tell him tomorrow. After he pulled the breath out of me, and I said, I'll tell him. Then he put the breath back in me, and I says, I'll tell him tomorrow. I said, wires, telegrams, and everything. Then he started pulling it out again. And then the breath in and out of me again, and my heart was beating very fast. I never experienced anything like that. So when anybody tries to tell you that, the Bible is wrong and all this sort of thing, don't believe them. I didn't believe that the Bible was right either. But and I never found out that it was until about 1 year later. But finally, he convinced me, opened up my mind and showed me that how powerful it was, that he knew everything in the world and throughout the universe, knew everything that I did in my life. And then he showed me the fibers in the carpet and everything. His intelligence came into the room so strong that I knew that he knew everything. Not only the hairs on everybody's head, he just is like into everything, completely into everything. And that's why I know God more than anybody that I've ever seen on the face of this earth. Then after this, so I got up and I says, Lord, let me send him wires. I'll send him cables, telegrams, whatever, tomorrow. But don't make me say it now, because these people in this room are going to think I'm crazy and they're going to send me to the nut house and they're going to seize me up here and put me in a straitjacket, because this is just so unorthodox that I'm embarrassed. So he started pulling the breath in and out of me again. I says, I'll tell him now. So I saw a movie called Elmer Gantry years ago, before that, and I just walked in for 15 minutes, and when they started saying, Jesus, Jesus, and all that, I walked out. I said, Jesus, I don't want to hear. I didn't realize, I thought Elmer Gantry was about some, you know, gal down south, you know, in the bayous or something, and I'm going to go in there and see one of these movies, you know, about Elmer Gantry, and then maybe this girl, that I call Ruby or something like that. And I went in there and they're talking about Jesus, and I just turned around in New York and I walked out. And but I remember they were saying, repent. And that's all I knew to say was repent. The kingdom of heaven, get down on your knees, you know, get down. If I can't preach God into you, I'll beat the devil out of you. And this Jewish attorney told me, my hearing started coming back in my ears, and he says, get him out of here, he's Michigana. And my attorney with his wife was sitting there, they're the ones that begged me to go there. And I says, Michigana, this guy had my promotion up on the wall, and that I did for Bobby Jameson in the Billboard magazine. You can check all these things out. This is history, you know, people. This is history. And so the Lord said, okay, you can go now. And so I started walking out, and all these people that were in this entourage that I had around me all the time, Big Jim, who I got a job driving for Sonny and Cher after I started going down the stairs, and he was laughing. He said, you really put that guy on a trip. He said, he'll be mumbling to himself for the rest of his life. And I said, no, that's no trip, man. God was talking to me. He said, get out of here. All these people that were my friends said, why would God talk to you? You're worse than all of us put together. And I said, I know. I don't understand why he talked to me, but he did. And they just laughed, and they said, get in the car. We had a limousine down there that I rented from the funeral parlor, and those six motorcycle police officers were actually a funeral escort, part-time. They'd work off-duty and do these funerals, and they're for hire. You can call the funeral home Utter McKinley here in Hollywood, and tell them you want to hire a limousine and a motorcade, and they'll provide it for you. And back then it wasn't as expensive as it is today, however. And so after that happened, I just wanted to walk. And I told everybody to get on their motorcycles and in the limo and take off. And they kept trying to get me in to the limousine. And I was kind of I was a muscle head back then. And I told them to leave me alone, or I'd have somebody beat them up. And I had a bunch of guys that would have done it. And so they laid off of me, and so I started walking home from Beverly Hills and asking the Lord, what do you want me to do? I know you exist now. And so here they come in with this Da Vinci. Of course, Da Vinci, Leonardo Da Vinci, would write things that were derogatory to the Bible because he was a homosexual. And all homosexuals hate the Bible because it says that they're going to hell. And, you know, what good is that going to do them to hate the Bible for telling them the truth? They say, well, we were born that way. Well, that's why they need to be born again of the Spirit. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I searched. I read all kinds of books and magazines about God and what I was trying to find out what he wanted me to do. And finally, in desperation, in my apartment or in a motel, I saw this Bible. And I started reading it, and there it was. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I thought, that's me. I want to know what's right. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, I wouldn't work anymore, do promotions for anyone, because I was afraid that the same thing would happen to me that happened to me in that office with Bobby Jameson. And then every time I'd read, I felt the Spirit coming down upon me as it did in that office. And it was like witnessing to me, the Spirit, that this is me, the same me that was in the office dealing with you. And so I realized I found the truth, or the Word of God, that would tell me what I'm supposed to do to serve Him or please Him. And so I was afraid that each line I would read, one of them, I wouldn't be able to swallow it. Then God put me with Sue. And she told me, you know that the Lord's coming back to earth again. And I says, how do you know? Did God tell you? Also, I thought she was my contact here on earth. And she really was. And she says, well, I've been preaching the Bible for years. And I said, well, you read, preach the Bible to me? And she said, yes. I went to one church after the other, and they were all into picnics and basket socials and arts and crafts and, you know, sports and vitamins and minerals and all kinds of garbage that I already knew. But I was wanting to hear what God wanted me to do. And I'm sure He didn't want me to do anything that I was doing out in the world, like selling stuff. And so I got saved. I had this vision in my apartment where I saw heaven and hell. And I saw the people. I saw this flicker of the fire in hell on a fireplace. And the fireplace was made out of brick that was purple and black and dark, and I could see dark flames, the shadow of them on the fireplace. And I could hear the people moaning and saying, oh my God, it's true. Hell is really here. Oh my God, we're here, and it means we're never getting out. The preachers that said these things to us were telling the truth, and we were so foolish. And we didn't realize that we would be here forever, and that we would even be here. We didn't realize there was a hell. Why can't our souls die? Why can't we stop this pain? And that scared me, and I said, oh God, save my soul. And I just kept pleading with Him. And then there was this voice that said, you're just imagining this. I had my eyes closed, and I was on a hardwood floor. And so I says, I'm just imagining this. Oh, my God. Maybe. And I opened my eyes, and I saw a huge rug that I was on, very thick. And it was just made of all kinds of beautiful colors that you don't see here on earth. And I closed my eyes, and the convicting Spirit of the Lord came down on me. And I said, please, God, don't. And then I saw hell again. I said, please, don't send me there. I will never doubt you again. And I just saved my soul. Just don't let me go to hell. And then all of a sudden I saw these stars break. The sky was just full of stars, and it broke. and it was like black, but the stars fanned out, and I felt the Spirit of God enter into my body, and I knew I was saved. And I just, this beautiful, loving spirit. It was like I felt love like I've never felt before, and understanding. God understood me, and He liked me. And, you know, liking and loving, is a, but the word love, it was like, God, you like me? You like me, of all people? And it was like love coming down. I mean, it was like, but I took it as like, He liked me. Now, a lot of people despised me because I was like a gunsel. You know, you don't mess with me. You know, I just want enough money to retire everywhere. If you get in my face, that's it. And God, you like me? As bad as I am and bitter, I was so bitter because there was nothing in this world that I could see that I liked. I've been through it all, and I've seen it, and I didn't want anything in this world. And He liked me. Oh my God, that's something, you know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It was like He liked me. Oh my God, you mean I'm likable, God? Me? Yes. And I was, tears were coming out of my eyes, because I love, I don't know what that is, but I mean like. I just felt His arms around me and everything, and that was the most wonderful thing. And so that's after that I met Sue, and Sue, you know, and we'd read the Bible, and she'd preach, and she'd say, oh, I says, you know, here's what the Lord showed me. She says, here it is in the Bible. And she showed it to me, and it just, cold chills would go through me. And then the Lord gave me all sorts of visions and signs, and then He appeared to me about 3 years later. And so any of these people that are coming up with this, the Bible is wrong or something, listen, the Lord talks to me, and He told me many times, you know, go over here, and if you don't, you'll be killed. And sure enough, like He told me about, get off of your property here, because all your people are up here, and the government, is going to come up and kill all of you if you don't get out. But if you get out and you separate the church around, they will not be able to kill you. They won't do it because they want to get you all at once. They know if they just get you, or if they just get the people there, that's there's still your literatures everywhere. And people know that you're telling the truth. They know it. And so, you know, don't listen to anybody that tells you the Bible isn't true, because everything that is in the Bible has been proven to be true. I was mentioning the last two tapes that Christopher Columbus trusted the Word of God in the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, that the world was round. Nobody else believed that back then, and he went off sailing. They thought he was going to go off the edge of the world, but he trusted the Word of God. And the Word of God, people of Noah's age did not trust the Word of God. And what happened? They all drowned. And you people that don't trust the Word of God, I found it to be true after studying for 41 years, 41 and a half years. It's true. All right? And I don't care what anybody else says. It's true. There isn't any other truth in this world but the Bible. And use the King James Version. The government has come up with other versions that say that the government is the authority, but the King James Version tells you that we who know God, that God called to be pastors, God called to be prophets, we're the authority here on earth. We are the authority, and they are the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a corporate body of people, millions and millions of them, that are composed the body of Antichrist. The corporate body of Christ is a bunch of people, millions of them, that are the body of Christ. So the Spirit of the Lord lives in the body of Christ, in the people of Christ, and the spirit of Satan lives in the Antichrist people. And they're the ones that are coming up with all this stuff on NBC, CBS, ABC, History Channel, and all these other channels, saying that oh, we just found some kind of word, you know, in a cave that Judas was a good guy and all this. The Bible says anyone that comes up with any other doctrine other than the Bible is accursed. And I know that Judas was not a good guy. And I know that Jesus lives because I saw him right in front of me. 3 years later, I saw this. It looked like a neon or a fluorescent, about a 3 foot, 4 foot tube, but it was like cloud, like a stick of cloud. And then all of a sudden it appeared right in the darkest room that I've ever been in my life, my bedroom. And Sue was laying in bed sleeping, and I was just wide awake, and all of a sudden this spirit, the stick, the spiritual stick, started going shh, and it formed into an oval-shaped mirror. And Jesus was sitting right in that mirror, and I thought he was taking me, and I thought I'd be scared to death if I ever saw Jesus in person. I said, Lord, it was like he was looking at me, and I knew that he liked me. He still liked me. But he was saying, not now. And he looked at me and shook his hand, put his hand up. He says, not now. And then he started talking, and it was like a radio turning off and on, and he was trying to tell me something. But what he was telling me is that I'm not reading the Word. I thought the best thing to do is just build houses and buildings and buy stuff and help the brothers and be around them and be friends with them and everything else like that. But the Lord says, I want you to read my Word, to study. You're not hearing me. You're just hearing little parts and bits and pieces of me. Get that Word into you. Because I'm going to raise you up in this world to lead people to the Lord, to me. And so I didn't realize what that was because it was turning off and on, and then it went right back out of the room. But I saw Jesus, all right? And all you liars out there that are saying that experts have been studying the Word and all this, there isn't anything that you can tell me. And the Lord told me, write up all the supernatural visions that you've had. And I've written up, he says, write them up and put them in literature. And if you get the literature out, you will not be destroyed. But if you don't, you will be destroyed. So we put it out. Amen? Mm-hmm. And if you want these supernatural experiences that I've had, there's nothing like it on earth, people. Believe me. The Lord is existing. He's about ready to come back to earth again. And there's so many distractions. And why do you think there's distractions here? Satan wants you to go to hell with him. He wants you to go to the lake of fire. But, you know, get God's, the Lord's life living in you. Ask Christ to come into you with his Father by the Spirit and fill you up. And once he enters you, then you'll be able to understand the Bible and understand what I'm talking about. All right? Now, I am some special person from the Lord because I was nothing special. I'm still nothing special other than what Christ has done for me. And I don't think of myself as being great or anything like that. Only what God has done for me is what I'm telling you. And I'm telling you all these phony things that are coming out in the newspapers and on the History Channel. And what's that other channel that does this? National Geographic and the other one. Well, there's other channels that come up with this stuff. What?
Discovery.
Yeah, the Discovery Channel. What a hoax they are. Those people are just trying to do documentaries that will excite you and get your interest going. It's Satan in those people that run those channels that are trying to get you just sensationalism. The Bible, no matter what anybody says, is 100% true. And don't you ever, that's the King James Version and the original Greek, Hellenic Greek, and the Hebrew. So, and the Hellenic Greek is the Greek written and spoken by the Jews. All right, so much for that. Now, let's finish these letters.
I want to receive your newsletters also. How much is your book, The Messiah?
Zero. I don't charge anything for the things. God did all these marvelous things for me. I wouldn't charge a penny for it. If you give donations unto the Lord so that you'll be blessed, that's fine. And you better. But I won't charge you anything. I sent out millions of pieces of literature, and God just blesses me. All right? Don't you worry about it. Okay, then what else?
I would like to receive this book. Pray for me because I am going through many problems now, and I know God will bring me out. May God bless you for standing for God's word. Your sister in Christ, S.P. from Houston, Texas.
It's so easy for me to stand because God has shown me the things and has told me step by step when to leave in Las Vegas. The Lord says you got 5 minutes to get out of here, and we were out of there in 3 minutes. I didn't ask him, well, why, Lord, or anything like that. I just took off because I know the word of God, the voice of God. And I left there, and just minutes after that, one married couple said, we want to stay. And I says, go ahead. Okay, I never muscle anybody to do anything. If you want to stay, stay. But I'm telling you what the Lord told me. If you don't believe it, you know, shame on you. And I left, and it was just minutes later where the FBI, part of the Vatican, went in there and stuffed a gun barrel down his mouth and threw him on the floor. And he had to explain that he was not me. This man looks similar to me. They think he looks identical to me. And they threw him down on the floor and threatened to blow his head off. And finally his wife convinced him that he was not me. What was his name? Gary Nash. Okay, so I know God. I know His voice. And I really thank God for His Spirit that talks. I thank God that God made all the languages and that He talks to those that are listening. And He listens to those that believe in Him. So talk to the Lord if you want something, you want to know something, and He'll tell you if you're keeping, you know, if you're doing what He says, and if you're born again of the Spirit. Then what?
Next letter is from Ashanti, Ghana, West Africa. Dear Pastor, I was very excited when I received your letter containing the gospel literature. The literature you brought to me, I supplied them to my school, but not all of them got some. In fact, most of them who did get them have totally repented. I gave them the literature on the same day I received my letter. The following day, they confessed to me that they have received Christ as their personal Savior. Please, I will appreciate it if you can permit me about 250 copies of your gospel literature.
Definitely send that to him. Okay, and then what else?
And one Holy Bible, King James Version, and the tape cassettes. The reason why I am requesting for all these things is that the literature is going to be shared to my school, and the Bible and tape cassettes are for me. I am a true Christian, but have no Bible or preaching cassette tapes. I would be happy if you send all my needs, and I hope you will do so, and I also know you will send them as early as possible. Thanking you in anticipation, yours in Christ Jesus, Desmond from Ashanti, Ghana, West Africa.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, is that it?
Yes.
All right, now Sharon, come on, let's do some of this message here that I just wrote out, and I'll be making commentaries because when I'm writing, I never write everything that I want to say. It just brings things out of me as I hear what I did on tape. Okay, go ahead.
So we know that in the Old Testament, the Spirit, one, is the Spirit of God in God's creation of the universe.
Right. So God said, let there be light, and let there be this, let there be that, and the Spirit came down and did everything that the Spirit did. And the Spirit today is Jesus. He's the Comforter. Okay, then what else? He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God. All right? So Christ is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said so. Now the Bible says, one of his disciples said, show us the Father, Philip said. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus said, have I been with you so long? Amen?
Amen.
When I saw Jesus, he was sitting on the throne. And there wasn't anybody else there because he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's only one God. It's three parts, but they're all one. Just like your body, spirit, and soul. Your body, soul, and spirit. We are tripartite human beings. Tripartite. And God is a triune God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
See Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Number 2, the Spirit of the Lord Jehovah and God's reaching out to man and his care for living things. Judges chapter 3, verse 10, chapter 6, verse 34, Genesis chapter 6, verse 3.
Read that again.
Okay. Number 2, the Spirit of the Lord Jehovah and God's reaching out to man and his care for living things.
Right. Everything that is living has got the Spirit of God in it. He has given them a temporal spirit. We have a temporary spirit until God's Spirit enters into our spirit, and then our spirit is revived and we have eternal life, because his eternal life is mixed or mingled into our temporal life. And then on the last day, if we die before he comes back, we become revived immediately. We become resurrected when his spirit enters into us. When Christ resurrected from the dead, he didn't resurrect by himself. I resurrected with him. And every born-again Christian is resurrected with him. We're sitting up in the kingdom, the Bible says, in heavenly places with him. If you're born again of the Spirit, when he resurrected, that meant that you resurrected with him. Amen?
Amen.
I'm alive in Christ. Amen? Amen. Forever and ever, and so are you. So keep your spirit. Keep the Spirit of God in you by abiding in him and letting him abide in you. And sin. Go and sin no more. Do not sin, okay, by disobeying him in anything. Because there is nothing that is sin that shall anything that defiles will enter the kingdom of God. We must be in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And he must be in us. All right, then what?
And 3, the spirit of holiness in God's making his chosen people holy unto himself.
Right, that's the spirit that enters us into us, that is, it's got the power. Like people say, grace. Well, the word grace just simply means power, God's power. Grace. Now, I heard a preacher today saying that that's God's undeserved favor to man. No, we deserve it. He died for us. And if we come to him as he says, and if we keep, we let him live in us, and we live in him, then we deserve it. But it's his power. All right? It wasn't a good thing that we've done. But now if the good thing that we can do now is let him live his life out in us, that we can let him represent his self in and through us. All right? And there isn't anything that you can do any better than that. Just to let God do his work in us and through us. Then what?
And see Psalms chapter 51, verse 11, Isaiah chapter 63, verse 10 through 11. In the New Testament, the Spirit is 1, the Spirit in the conception of John the Baptist to introduce God's becoming a man in his incarnation.
Okay, read that slower, because, you know, you're reading it fast, and I don't think anybody can understand because you're reading it so fast. Spiritual things to carnal people are foreign, and it has to be broken down, and you have to give me a chance to break it down so that they can understand it. Okay, now go ahead and read it again.
In the New Testament, the Spirit is...
See, what we're doing is reading all the different things that the Spirit is. The Spirit of the Old Testament, the Spirit that created everything, the Spirit that gave life to everything, and the Spirit that gives us immortality. And so we're going now into the Spirit that is in the New Testament. Okay, because these are spiritual things that I'm talking about here, and you need to understand them. If you read your Bible and you don't understand it, then you're not then there's no value to you, to it. The value comes when it's received into your heart. We don't live by sight. We live by faith. Sight, we see all sorts of things with our eyes, doesn't mean that we are not, that we don't see them. We see them. But the Lord says, now that you know spiritual things, ignore them. You say, well, how do we ignore things? Well, the people in my church ignore them just like you do me. Okay? When I walk by, you know, you say, you just pass by. Ignore the things of this world. Amen? I'm not looking to be observed as far as my physical being is concerned. But the Lord says for you to disregard the things of this world and look into spiritual things. Amen?
Amen.
Ignore the things of the world. It's okay to see, but it's better to see spiritually. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
In the New Testament, the Spirit is, one, the Spirit in the conception of John the Baptist.
Right. Like the Baptist received in his mother's womb the spirit of Elijah, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he leaped in his mother's womb because Elijah entered into him. Because the Bible says before the Messiah comes, the first thing must happen to prove that the Messiah has come is that Elijah must first come. Amen?
Amen.
And so when the different Pharisees and Sadducees asked him, are you Elijah? He said, no. Well, that was the wrong thing, very bad thing for him to say, because then people didn't believe that that was the Messiah. Because they'd say, well, Elijah hasn't come yet, so that was a sin for the Baptist to not say, yes, I am Elijah. And that's why when people ask me if I'm somebody, I tell them yes, because that shows them that it is the end of the world. It tells us that we're I will not deny that the Lord has given me a special ministry, and that it's the ministry of chapter 11 in the New Testament. We're right there, folks. And then the different plagues that come right after that will be in very quick succession. So don't think that you have a lot of time. We're at the end of time. Okay, then what else?
The Spirit in the conception of John the Baptist,
mm-hmm,
to introduce God's becoming a man in his incarnation.
Right, so John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was telling, there's one coming that is mightier than me. I baptize you in water, but the one that's going to come is greater than me. He's the Messiah, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Luke chapter 1, verse 13 and 17. 2. In the conception of Jesus in God's incarnation, being a man in the flesh.
Okay, the Spirit entered into Mary, in Mary's womb, and that was the conception of the Immaculate Conception. It was not a man that she conceived this child in her. She was a virgin. And it was God Almighty, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and entered her, just as the Holy Spirit enters us when we become born again of the Spirit. God's life must live in you like it did Mary. This means that Mary is not any more than you or I. When once Christ with his Father by the Spirit enters into you, he's in you. Amen? Just as he was in Mary. The difference was is that she conceived and bore this son who had God living in him. It was a human being. So when people say that she gave birth to God, No, she did not. She gave birth to a human being that had God in him. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, you know, you say mother of God. How could she be the mother of God? God, the Bible says, had no mother. He had no father. He had no beginning. He has no ending. Amen?
Amen.
And so, she is not the mother of God. She's the mother of a human being. He said, I'm the son of man. And I'm the son of man too. And I have God's spirit coming in. The difference was that he had the God living in him before he was born. This man had God living in him before he was born. He was conceived and born again at the same time of the Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
And so the thing is that we must be born again of Spirit and water. So when we're born the first time, we're born of water. And then when we... But that's just the natural birth that everyone has experienced. But then now we have to have another experience to enter the kingdom of heaven, and that is that we must be born again of the Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
So that we can enter the spiritual realm, the kingdom of heaven. All right, then what?
Luke chapter 1, verse 30 through 36, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. Number 3, the Spirit, one with whom Jesus was anointed, and who was in every move of the man Jesus.
Right. See, when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the Spirit of God came down in the shape of a dove, and he was then baptized with the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit that you must be, you know, if you're going to be in the ministry, you must be baptized with the Holy Spirit in order to have God's power. Now, the temporary Spirit, when we become born again, it's a thing that he breathed into the disciples when he entered the room in the 20th chapter of the book of John. I believe it's verse 24. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Then after this he said, now go to Jerusalem after I ascend and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to do for God to live in you, to abide in you forever. It's not the temporary Spirit, it's the permanent Spirit that dwells in you so long as you don't sin. If you sin willingly, if you sin, unless it's ignorance, well, the Spirit will leave you. So we must be baptized with the Holy Spirit to be in the ministry, and the Lord wants us to be in the ministry. And we need that power of the Holy Spirit in us. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is in you. So in the chapter 2 of the book of Acts, you see the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming down on these people, and they all spoke in tongues, which was a significant sign that they had received the power of God from on high. They received the Comforter in them, and Jesus told them about that, that the Comforter would teach them all things that they need to know, like get in the car and get out of here within 5 minutes or you're going to die. And so that is not in the Bible. Or get off the ridge, all you people separate it, Tony, get everyone out of here, you know, keep certain people here, but open up churches everywhere. And so I did that, and that wasn't in the Bible. So we need that guide, and this, and the things that I'm letting you hear now, God is piping right through me to tell you these things. And also the things that happened in the office, and the visions that I've had, and him appearing before me. That's not in the Bible. These are things that happen, and they really happened before I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God was really, you know, and it happened to Paul too. He saw this light and was saved before he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well. Amen?
Amen.
And Cornelius and so many others received the Spirit of the Lord before they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was living in Christ the second that he was conceived. Yet he didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit until he was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And then immediately the Holy Spirit moved him out into the wilderness to be tested and tempted. And we'll be tested too. We're going to go through some times, you know, but we have the Spirit in us. And when we go through these times, it gives us maturity. We become mature. We have experience. We know things. Amen?
Amen.
I've been through many experiences in these 41 and a half years. I know things from experience. If you haven't experienced the things that I have, you don't know those things. That's why the Lord has me teaching you. But now, listen, I know that if you say this prayer, the Spirit of the Lord will enter into you with His Father. By the Holy Spirit, so say it right now. So you can be born again as well. Be part of the body of Christ. Say, my Lord and my God. Pray to the Lord now. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you receive this, you are going to be resurrected with Christ. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me. How do I know? Because your word says so. You said, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise the Lord and thank the Lord for saving your soul. And now you're resurrected with Christ. Praise the Lord. And now here's four different ways that you can receive a copy of this tape, or please specify if you want a tape or a CD. This is program number 169. Go ahead, Tom Sharon.
Go to alamoministries.com or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax area code 479-782-7406.
All right, and so make sure you tune in tomorrow. This will be part 68 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and you won't want to miss it. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and keep praising and thanking the Lord for your salvation. Amen.